Let's stand together as we read some scriptures together. 3 John and we're going to read verses 1 to 8. 3 John verses 1 to 8. The Bible says here, "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly that when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth, I have no greater joy than to hear, my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth." Fellow helpers to the truth. That's the title of the message this morning. I want us to become fellow helpers to the truth. And I want to share with you in this message this morning some ways that we can be fellow helpers to the truth. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. Please speak to our hearts this morning. Please challenge us. Lord, help us to do as we ought, to live as we ought to live, as your people, as your children. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. I want to speak to you this morning on that simple thought of being fellow helpers to the truth. I want to speak to you this morning as we enter into our missions month about helping the missionaries and helping the church planters and helping those that are going to go forth and do the work of God for the name of Christ, for the cause of Christ. The Apostle John, he wrote this letter to a man by the name of Gaius. Now, Gaius was a faithful man. There's no doubt about that as we read the scriptures. He was a godly man. He was a godly example and certainly someone who was a spiritual leader in his church. And in this passage, in this little letter that John wrote, we see the contrasting example of two men. Two different men in this chapter, or two different men in this letter were written about by John. Look first at verses 2 and 3. Okay, look at verse 2 and 3. The Bible says, "They're beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health." This is talking about Gaius. "Even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth." Here was a man, Gaius, who was prospering spiritually. He was walking in the truth, the Bible says. He's a wonderful testimony amongst the believers, amongst the Christian brethren. He was living a life that was pleasing to John. But more importantly, he was living a life that was pleasing to the Lord. But we read about another man in this book, Diotrephes. Go down to verses 9 and 10. And Diotrephes was a very, very proud man. It says in verse 9, "I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not." Who's supposed to have preeminence in the church? Christ is. But the Bible says, here is a man, Diotrephes, that he likes to have preeminence. He likes to have the place. Verse 10 says, "Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church." Diotrephes sought preeminence in the local church that he was a part of. He refused to accept the leadership of the apostles or the elders or the pastor of the church. He was someone who always wanted his way. The Bible tells us about Diotrephes there that he was malicious in his words. Listen, he was unkind. He was contentious. He wanted the church actually to have no part in helping the missionaries that came through their church. He didn't want them to be involved in that. As a result, this man had a very poor testimony among the brethren. He was not living a life that pleased the Lord. He was not walking in the truth. He was not being a fellow helper to those who were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, Diotrephes and Gaius were two very, very different men. I know I don't want to be like Diotrephes. I sure don't want to be like him. I'd rather be like Gaius, someone who the Bible can say about him that he was walking in truth. He loved the brethren. He was good to those who preached the gospel and missionaries and so on that traveled through and came to their church and so on. Certainly we ought to follow the good example of Gaius. Look what it says in verse 11. Look what John wrote, verse 11. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He's saying, don't follow the example of Diotrephes. Follow the good example of Gaius. Don't follow after that evil way. Follow after that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. I want us just to focus, though, for the message on Gaius and see. I want to show you this morning how he was a blessing to preachers of the gospel. We don't necessarily know which local church Gaius was a part of, but Gaius was a man who John knew personally. Gaius was a man who John greatly loved. Gaius was somebody who was well known as a man who'd been a blessing to the missionaries. Missionaries and church planners and preachers had testified to John. They had been in Gaius' church. Then they'd come over to the church that John was a pastor of. And over here they testified, you know that church that Gaius is a part of? That man's incredible. That man was such a blessing to us. That man was such a help to him. They would testify that when they traveled through his city and when they went to his church, how blessed they were, how refreshed they were, how encouraged they were by him. You know, whether Gaius was a wealthy man or a poor man, we don't really know. Whether Gaius was a healthy man or a sick man, we don't really know. But John wrote to Gaius and he said this. He said, my wish, my desire, my prayer is that you would prosper financially and physically the same way that you've been prospering spiritually. Look what the Bible said back there in verses 1 and 2. Look at it with me. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, it's writing to Gaius now. Beloved, I wish above all things, I wish more than anything, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. I want you to prosper financially. I want you to prosper physically the way your soul has been prospering spiritually. How would you like it this morning if the man of God started praying for your health and started praying for your financial situation to prosper the same way that your soul is prospering? That's what John did to Gaius. He said, Gaius, I wish that your health, I wish that you would prosper in the same way that your soul is prospering. In the same way that you spiritually in your life are really prospering, I wish your health would prosper to the same extent. I wish that your life would prosper to the same extent as what you're prospering spiritually. What if the preacher started asking God to make your financial situation or to make your health situation about as good as your soul is? About as good as your spiritual situation is. Would you like that? Or say, no, Pastor, please don't pray for me. Please don't pray for me. I'd get very sick. It's quite the thought, isn't it? Gaius had a man that was praying for him that he would prosper in the same way that he was prospering spiritually. During this time, there were men that were traveling, preaching, teaching the Word of God in churches that were being established. There was men like Paul and Silas and Luke and Barnabas and John, Mark and others that we know were traveling as missionaries. They were preaching the gospel. They were spreading the truth. They were starting churches and so on. They were winning souls to Christ. When these missionaries came through, when they came through Gaius' town, when they traveled through and spoke in the church that Gaius was a member of, he was always a great blessing to those missionaries and preachers. He was always a great blessing to those church planners and Christian workers. Gaius would have missionaries and preachers stay in his home. He would feed them and help to take care of any needs that they had. He would make sure that their laundry was cleaned. He would make sure that they had food and provisions for when they continued on in their journeys. He would take care of their transportation. He would feed their animals. He would change the oil and put new tires on their car when they needed it. He took them to the gas station. He filled up their motorcycle with gas. He did that sort of a thing. He took care of them. He was a blessing to them. I understand they didn't have motorcycles back then, but you get the point, right? He fed their animals. He bought the feed that the animals needed. He made sure they were good and old. Maybe if the animals were worn out, maybe he'd give them some rested animals to go on to their next place. Gaius was a man who had a big heart for God. Gaius was a man who had a big heart for the missionaries. He was a man who was certainly walking in the truth. Look what verse 3 says. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee. I mean, not the truth that you believe, but I mean the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. You want to know how, if somebody knows the truth, are they walking in the truth? Are they living out the truth? Gaius had a wonderful testimony. It was obvious that he loved God. These traveling evangelists and missionaries and so on reported to John the graciousness and the kindness of Gaius. It was obvious evidence that this man was walking in the truth. They told John, when you go to the church where Gaius is one of the spiritual leaders, he is such a wonderful man. He is generous in giving. He took care of us in his home. He provided for the things that we needed. He gave us an offering to help pay for our expenses and to make it to where we were going next, to the next city where we'd go and preach the gospel. Listen, this man loves God. You see, Gaius had a great testimony, a wonderful reputation among the brethren. His conduct, his behavior, made it very clear and very obvious that this man was walking in the truth. He was living it out, Eric. He was living the truth. He was walking in the truth. And John was so delighted. This is awesome to hear this report about Gaius. Look again what it says. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified to the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. You know, we too ought to be walking in the truth. We ought to be walking in the truth. Our actions, our conduct, our behavior, our giving, our sacrifice, our attitude, our willingness to help and serve, our desire to love, and our desire to care for and provide for the needs of preachers and missionaries, it ought to be a distinguishing characteristic of the fact that, hey, they're in the truth. They're walking in the truth. They're living out the truth in their life. Notice what the Bible says over in 1 John. Turn there with me. Some of you look like you're busy reading the Scriptures, so let's go together then to 1 John 3. And verses 16 to 19. 1 John 3, verses 16 to 19. You found it? It says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in what? And in truth. In truth. How do you know if a person's walking in truth? By how they treat people. By how they care for those in need. By how they love the brethren. Verse 19 says, and hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. Our actions are what prove that we are walking in the truth. How we treat the brethren, how we take care of our missionaries shows how much of the love of God is in us. John goes on in this passage and he commends Gaius for what he was already doing. And then he urges him to continue. Keep on. Gaius, I'm so glad. I've heard such a great report about you. How you've been a blessing, how you've cared for the brethren, how you've helped the missionaries. Notice what it says back in 3 John in verse 5. 3 John verses 5 and 6. Says, beloved, thou doest faithfully. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity. You know, the love that we're reading about in 1 John. The love that you've shown to them. Which have borne witness, they've told us about the charity, thy charity. Notice that the rest of this verse. Whom if thou bring forward on their journey, whom? Those preachers, those missionaries, those church planners and so on, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, if you help them forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. You're doing well. You're doing a good thing. You're doing a good thing. You are doing well when you help the missionaries to bring them forward. You help them to go forward on their journey. You help them to get to that mission field. You help to take care of their needs. You are doing well. You're doing well. It seems likely that Gaius was a convert of the Apostle John. Maybe someone that he had led to Christ, a spiritual son in the faith. And John said to Gaius, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." It caused John's heart to rejoice when he heard about how Gaius was living. He was so encouraged when he learned about the charity and the love and the care that Gaius had been showing to the missionaries that came through his church. The brethren had reported Gaius' love and provision for them, and John commended him for it. "You're doing well. You're doing it faithfully. God bless you, Gaius. I'm so proud of you. I'm so thankful for you. I'm so pleased to hear that report." John was proud of the way that Gaius' soul was prospering. It was obvious he loved the Lord. It was obvious that he was living for others. It was obvious that he had a giving heart. John says to Gaius, "You've been faithfully serving the Lord. You've been faithfully caring for some of the preachers, maybe some that are more well known, and you've been caring for the missionaries. You've been caring for the brethren." But he said, "You know what? You've also cared for the lesser known saints. You've cared for the strangers, and you've cared for brothers and sisters in Christ that have traveled through your town and stopped at your church and maybe needed a place to stay." John said, "Gaius, you've done well. You've done very well. You've brought preachers forward on their missionary journey. You've helped them to go forward. You've encouraged them to keep on going. You've supported them. You've helped them. Thank you, Gaius. Thank you for giving." The way that Gaius was living is the way that we all ought to live. It's the way we all ought to live. The things that Gaius was doing are the things that we all ought to be doing. You know, when you and I help to bring the missionaries forward on their journey, when we help to support that new church planter that's starting out, when we help a man and his wife that are traveling from church to church to church and church to church, and they're trying to raise some support for work and ministry that God has called them to, when we give and when we sacrifice to help missionaries get to the mission field, then we are doing what the Lord wants us to do. We're putting our faith into action. We're actually living out the truth. We're walking in the truth. We're becoming fellow helpers to the truth. We're helping the missionaries to take the gospel to those who need to hear it. You think, well, they're doing the big stuff. They're getting to take the truth and take the gospel. You're a fellow helper to the truth. You can be a fellow helper. You can help that missionary. You can help that church planner. You can bring them forward on their journey. You can help them to get to that mission field. You can help them to get to Fiji. Help them to get to Kenya. Help them to get to Tuktoyaktuk. You may never visit Tuktoyaktuk, but you can help them to get them there, to take the gospel to people there. We're to be fellow helpers to the truth. In Acts 15, verse 3, it tells us that Paul and Barnabas, who were missionary church planters, were brought on their way by the church. They were brought on their way by the church. You notice how very similar that expression is to being brought forward on their journey? They were missionaries. They were church planters. That's what Paul was. That's what Silas was. And they were brought on their way by the church. They were helped by the church to go forth and preach the gospel and take it to other cities and so on. That's what Gaius was doing too. He was helping to bring missionaries forward on their journey. That's what we as a church ought to do. Help bring people forward. Help them to go forward for the work of Christ. It's the very same expression, very same meaning and truth of what's going on. Let me ask you this. Why should we do this? Or why is it that we're doing well when we help and support and give and do things to encourage the missionaries? Why is it that we're doing well when we help the church planters and so on and the missionaries and we give and we sacrifice and give them an offering or take them to the gas station or take them out for a meal or slip them a Tim Hortons card or get them a new pair of shoes? Or why is it that we're helping them? Why is it that we're doing them well? Because we're encouraging them in the work of the Lord. We're helping to bring them forward on their journey. We're helping them to get to the mission field where God wants them to go. Why are you and I doing the right thing, the good thing, when we love and care for and be generous towards faithful preachers and missionaries? Look at verse number 7 and you'll see the reason explained. John explained the reason why in verse number 7. 3 John, verse number 7. Why is it that we're doing well when we do this? Verse 7 says, because that for His name's sake. Who's the His? It's Christ. Because that for His name's sake, for Christ's sake, for His name's sake, they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. They're going forth as missionaries. They're going to new places. They're going to new towns. They're going to people that have never heard the gospel before. They're going to people that don't know Christ. And when you and I who do know Christ, and you and I who are supposed to be walking in the truth, when we bring the missionaries forward on their journey and we help them, those that are going forth for His name's sake, we're doing well. We're doing well. Because we want to help them to take the gospel to the lost. Notice, turn back with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. These missionaries are giving their life for Christ's sake, for the gospel's sake. If you want to go to Tuktoyaktuk, go ahead. Volunteer. Say, God, I'll go. But you know what? Here are some that are going. Here are some that have answered the call of God to go to a place where people need Christ. Here are people that are willing to go to Kenya. Go to a country. Go to a place where you never know what types of insurrections, maybe not the right word, but what conflict there will be at times. You're not going to have to travel those roads to different villages throughout the country. You're not going to have to go and walk the slums of Nairobi. Now you could, and some should. We need some to go. We need people to go and give the gospel to those poor people who need Jesus Christ. We desperately need that. But we're doing a good thing when we help them to go. Because for Christ's sake, they're going to take the gospel to the lost. For Christ's sake, they're giving their life. For the gospel's sake, they're giving their life. Notice how similar it is to what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verses 7 through 10. The Bible says, "Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that ye might be exalted? Because I have preached you the gospel of God freely. Says, I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service." He's writing to the church at Corinth, and I don't got time to explain it all, but we learn clearly from the book of Acts, the book of Philippians, the book of Corinthians. I could show you in detail sometime how there was churches and there was Christians who helped Paul and Silas to go forward and to go to other cities and to go to places and even to go to Corinth and to give them the gospel of Jesus Christ and to plant a church there. There was churches. Christians in Philippi, Christians in Thessalonica that helped to make that happen. And what's he saying? I robbed other churches. Well, I was taking support. There was people in other churches, Christians in other places, that they were sending support. They were sending wages, if you will. They were sending money to us. They were sending the supplies to us that we needed. Why? So that we could just come to your town, come to your place, and give you the gospel. You see, there was others that were helping us so that we could do you service. It says, "And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man, for that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia." Paul was going forth and he had been in Philippi, he'd been in Thessalonica, he'd been in some of these cities, he'd been in Berea. But then when he went into the region of Achaia to go and proclaim Christ and to preach the truth and share the gospel, there was Christians and churches over here that were helping to make that happen. They had brought him forward on his journey. They sent him, and sometimes they sent people to come and bring a gift or to bring an offering to help take care of him as a missionary, if you will, as a church planter. In those places, we ought to help the missionaries because they are giving their life to go and take the gospel to others who need to hear about our wonderful Savior. If you look back with me at 3 John and verse number 8, it says this. It says, "We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth." We ought, therefore, to receive such. Receive them. Receive them with joy. Don't receive them, "Oh, another missionary's coming. pastor is probably going to want to take an extra offering for the missionary. No, why not receive them with joy? What an opportunity. There's somebody that, for the name of Christ, for Christ's sake, is going to come through, and we get to help bring them forward on their journey. We get to help send them to Tuktoyaktuk. We get to help send them to Fiji. We get to help send them to Kenya. We get to help send them to Uruguay. Woohoo! What a privilege. I'm going to get to walk in the truth. I'm going to get to live out the truth. There's some people coming through, and I'm going to help them. I'm going to bring them forward on their journey. I'm going to get involved in this faith promise giving thing because I want to support them. I want to keep them on that mission field. I want to help our missionaries around the world to get out the gospel. I want to help Andrew Steers in Tasmania to give the gospel to as many people as he can. Thank God that he's not there with his wife and his wife having cancer and saying, oh, it's too hard now. Let me just go back to America and my wife can be with her mommy and stuff and we can be all cared for. No, they're staying there and preaching the gospel. Why? Because that's what God called them to do. And as long as they're willing to go and answer the call of God, I'm willing to give to keep them there and do the work of God. Can we give? Can we help bring missionaries forward on their journey? Can we help to keep them in the places where God has called them to go to take the gospel of Jesus Christ? They are going forth for Christ's sake. They're going forth for the gospel's sake to take the truth and the word of God to people who need to hear it. And it's the least that I can do to help them. It's so little what I can do to just bring them forward on their journey or to help them to stay there. I live in a place of abundance and blessing, and if I can put a little bit of money in an offering plate every week of the year and help them to give out the gospel, we ought to receive them. Receive them. Receive them into our church. Receive them into our homes. Feed them, house them, love them, pray for them, put gas in their car. Be good to them. Be kind to them. Get involved in missions giving so that they know that you'll support them and you'll pray for them and you'll help to keep them in that country for the rest of their life. We ought to help them. When you and I are helping the missionaries, we're in fact helping Christ. When you and I give to them, realize that we're actually giving to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 10, you can look at it with me. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 40 and 41. It says, he that receiveth. Remember, we're taught to receive them. Receive them. And be fellow helpers to the truth. It says, he that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Jesus said that, listen, God will reward you for receiving and loving and caring for those preachers and missionaries and church planters that are going forth for Christ's sake. When you receive them and you bless them and you help them, you're actually doing it for Christ. It's like you're giving it right unto Christ. Back in 3 John, it said, Beloved, 3 John verse 5, Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity, the love that you've shown, how you've walked in the truth, and so on. They've borne witness of thy charity before the church. Whom, if thou bring forward on the journey after godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles, we therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. When we're helping the missionaries, the Bible says we're becoming fellow helpers to the truth. What a wonderful thought that is. When we help the preacher, we are helping in the ministry and work of the Lord. When we help the missionary, we're having a part in sending the gospel to the lost people all around the world. Listen, let's be helpers to every missionary that we can. Let's be helpers to every church planter that we possibly can. Let's love them and provide for them. Let's be generous in taking care of their needs. Let's give sacrificially and faithfully to help bring them forward on their journey. Let's help the missionaries to complete deputation as soon as possible. It needs to be complete as soon as possible, doesn't it? I'm sure the Abrams, I don't know it personally, we've never really shared it, but I'm sure there are times where they really, really wanted to give up. Because it took way too long for them. Way too long. They could have been here 2 years sooner. But it took a long time, and I'm glad they didn't quit. Thank God for that. Listen, let's help get missionaries to the field, to the place where God wants them, as soon as possible. Let's help them. Let's support every missionary that we possibly can. Let's help them when they travel through our city and speak in our church. Let's pray for them. Let's give our faith promise offering every week. Don't miss it. Let's help to support and keep our missionaries on the mission field. God will say to us one day, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." He'll reward you with the same reward as the missionary, the same reward as the prophet, the same reward as the church planter. You help the prophet, you'll get a prophet's reward, the Bible said. Help them. Help them. Let's be fellow helpers to the truth. Fellow helpers to the truth. As you take care of the missionaries, God will take care of you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, give us a passion to walk in the truth. Truth is not something we just say we believe or I believe this. No, the truth is how we live. We're to live out the truth. We're to walk in the truth. We say we have the truth. We say we know the truth. We say we know God, then act like it. Lord, help us to demonstrate the truth, to live out the truth in our lives daily, to walk in the truth. Lord, help us to be believers like Gaius who love the brethren and love missionaries and love church planters and desire to help them and bring them forward on their journey. Who want to help support them to take the gospel to the world as they go forth for Christ's sake, as they go forth for the gospel's sake. We do our part where we're at to help them. Lord, give us that passion, that desire to be a help and an encouragement and a good supporter and a prayer, someone who will faithfully pray for our missionaries. God, help us to show them the love of Christ. And remember that what we do to them and every sacrifice we make and every kindness we show to them, we're doing it really to Christ. God, let us be a blessing. Lord, use us. Use our church to reach this world with the gospel.